Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Pete Musto, Katie Weaver, and Brian Lynn. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, the Trump administration has set new visa requirements for people from six mainly Muslim nations and all refugees. The Associated Press says the new rules require those seeking a visa to have a close relationship with a family or business in the United States. The move came after the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to parts of an executive order signed by President Donald Trump. Critics of the order compared it to a ban on Muslims. The State Department released the guidance for U.S. diplomats on Wednesday. The government is not canceling visas that have already been approved. The new rules affect visa applicants from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. It said they must prove a relationship with a parent, husband or wife, child, the husband or wife of an adult child, or a brother or sister already in the United States to be considered for a visa. Other family members are not considered close relations under the new guidelines. They include grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, cousins, and other extended family members. The same requirement, with few exceptions, is in effect for would-be refugees who are still awaiting approval for admission to the U.S. The State Department will consider whether visa applicants from the six countries have business ties to the United States. It said an acceptable business relationship has to be formal, documented, and not created for the purpose of avoiding the ban. The new guidance said a hotel or rental car agreement would not meet the requirement. The new rules do not affect news reporters, students, workers, or speakers who have valid invitations or offers of employment in the U.S. On Monday, the Supreme Court partially lifted lower court rulings against Trump's executive order, which had temporarily banned visas for citizens of the six countries. The new guidance will remain in place until the Supreme Court makes a final ruling on the issue. The court will not hear arguments in the case until at least October, so the temporary rules will remain in place for at least the next 3 months. Shortly after taking office, Trump ordered the refugee ban and a travel ban affecting the six countries as well as Iraq. He said it was needed to protect the United States from terrorists. But opponents said it was unfairly severe and was designed to meet his campaign promise to keep Muslims out of the country. After a federal judge rejected the bans, Trump signed another order designed to overcome legal issues. That order was also rejected by lower courts, but the Supreme Court ruled that parts of the order are constitutional.
Thank you. Police in Australia have charged a top Vatican official with historic sexual offences. Police officials did not give details of the charges against Cardinal George Pell. But they did say the charges are based on claims by more than one person. Pell has been ordered to appear for a hearing in a Melbourne court on July 18th. The Cardinal serves as chief financial advisor to Pope Francis. The case increases pressure on the Pope to act on promises to fight sexual abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. Pell told reporters in Vatican City that he is innocent of the charges. He said the charges are an attack against his character. He added that the whole idea of sexual abuse is abhorrent to me, and that he is looking forward to having his day in court. A Vatican spokesman expressed respect for the Australian justice system. He also said that Pope Francis has given Pell a leave of absence, an extended period of time away from his job. The Australian Cardinal is the highest Roman Catholic clergyman to face charges of sexual abuse. Sexual abuse in the church first captured the world's attention in 2002. That is when reports about sexually abusive Catholic bishops in the American city of Boston, Massachusetts, began appearing in the news. The reports found that clergymen would move abusers to new positions in the church instead of dismissing them. Thousands of cases of sexual abuse have since been reported worldwide. Investigators have urged victims to go public. The Roman Catholic Church has paid more than $2 billion in compensation to the accusers. I'm Pete Musto.
A Vietnamese blogger honored by the United States for her activism has been sentenced to 10 years in prison in Vietnam. Minh Nam, or Mother Mushroom, received the sentence Thursday at the end of a one-day trial in central Vietnam. A court found her guilty of charges related to conducting propaganda against the government. Mother Mushroom, whose given name is Nguyen Ngo Nu Quyen, has been detained since October 2016. The law used against her has drawn international criticism for giving the government power to limit free expression. Her lawyer said her conviction related to several articles on her Facebook page, as well as interviews with foreign news organizations. The lawyer called the sentence too heavy and unfair. He said he planned to appeal the decision. Quyen began blogging as Mother Mushroom in 2006. She is also a founding member of the Vietnamese Bloggers Network. It is one of the few independent blogging groups in a nation where the ruling Communist Party tightly controls the media and writers. She was honored with America's International Women of Courage Award in March. She was not able to attend the award ceremony in Washington, led by First Lady Melania Trump. A State Department spokeswoman praised Quinn for exposing corruption, raising awareness about environmental protection, and reporting on human rights violations in Vietnam. Quinn also received awards from the organizations Civil Rights Defenders and Human Rights Watch for speaking out freely against injustices and human rights abuses in Vietnam. The Deputy Director for Human Rights Watch Asia, Phil Robertson, criticized the trial. He urged the international community to call for her release. He said international donors and trade partners should publicly condemn her arrest and urge the Vietnamese government to immediately and unconditionally release her. Among her recent campaigns, Mother Mushroom blogged about the government's handling of a chemical spill at Formosa, a Taiwanese-owned steel plant in central Vietnam. The spill killed 80 tons of fish and embarrassed the Vietnamese government. Thousands of protesters demonstrated at the plant and in cities throughout Vietnam. The April 2016 incident is widely seen as having raised environmental awareness and activism in Vietnam. The movement led the steel company to accept full responsibility for the fish kill. It also promised to pay $500 million in damages for dumping toxic wastewater into the South China Sea. I'm Katie Weaver.
For the first time, a woman captain led Britain's changing of the guard ceremony at Buckingham Palace. Canadian officer Megan Cotto made history on June 26th by commanding the troops guarding Queen Elizabeth's London home. Cotto, 24, led her Canadian unit in the ceremony, which is witnessed by thousands of visitors to London each year. Her unit is the 2nd Battalion, Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, also known as the Patricias. I'm just focusing on doing my job as best I can and staying humble, said Cotto about the historic event. She told Reuters news agency just before leading the troops she was feeling a little bit of healthy stress. She added, "This is definitely a big deal for us." The Queen's Guard ceremony usually is led by a soldier from the mostly male British Army's Household Division. The British Army said Cotto was the first ever female infantry officer to lead the ceremony. We look forward to seeing a British Army female infantry captain of the Queen's Guard when roles are opened up to women by the end of next year, a statement read. Women were barred from serving in the British infantry and other combat roles until the military changed the rule last year. The Canadian unit was invited to Britain to mark Canada's upcoming 150th anniversary. Canada Day is celebrated on July 1st. Canada was established on July 1st, 1867, when Britain's Parliament approved the British North America Act. The Act established the Canadian Confederation out of three British colonies. Canada, along with several other nations, still belongs to the British Commonwealth. Queen Elizabeth still serves as the country's official head of state. Many celebrations will be held throughout Canada to mark the country's 150th birthday. Among the activities will be parades, music, and cultural performances and fireworks. Britain's Prince Charles and his wife Camilla are to spend 3 days visiting Canada to mark the anniversary. In Britain, people plan to gather in London's Trafalgar Square to take part in a celebration for Canada Day. The event will feature musical performances, Canadian food, sports, and other activities. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. The iPhone turned 10 years old on Thursday, and many people took a moment to remember the first time they saw the Apple device. When it came out on June 29th, 2007, people were lining up outside stores around the world to buy the phone. It was a big success for the computer company that made the Macintosh and the iPod. The hashtag iPhone@10 was trending on Twitter most of the day. One person called it a revolution, and others posted about the phone's evolution in the last 10 years. Massive is the word CNN used to describe the businesses that grew up around the phone's popularity. The current version is iPhone 7, but many people expect an iPhone 8 to come out soon. Some technology reporters say the next iPhone will come out in September, and it will be even larger than the ones we see today. The first iPhone's display was about 9 centimeters. The newest one is expected to be about 14 centimeters. The first phone cost close to $500. The current version of the phone costs a little more than $600. According to Entrepreneur magazine, the 2008 version of the iPhone, known as the 3G, was the first to use faster cellular networks, GPS, and allowed users to buy apps from the App Store. Small improvements were made along the way. The largest iPhone, the 6 Plus, came out in 2014. By 2016, there were over 2 million apps available. That is also when Apple sold its 1 billionth iPhone. One Twitter user called the iPhone astonishing and wrote, hard to imagine going without it now. A designer in Minnesota found her old iPhone and plugged it in to see if it would still start up. "It still boots," she wrote. While many people said the iPhone made their lives easier, others were happy to point out its flaws. Autocorrect is supposed to fix typing mistakes when you write messages on your phone. Many people say it still has problems even 10 years later. Others complained about the phone's battery, memory, and charger. Even the London, England Fire Brigade wrote, "Don't use cheap, dodgy chargers. You could have a nasty surprise." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. In a previous Everyday Grammar story, we discussed two common sentence patterns using the word be. This week, we are going to give you more information about another common pattern in English, the linking verb pattern. To get you started with linking verb patterns, consider this passage from a story called The Diamond As Big as the Ritz by the American author F. Scott Fitzgerald.
As he approached the end, his sentences became broken, became short and uncertain, and his body seemed tense, seemed strained to catch the slightest pressure or whisper of life in the spaces around him.
By the end of this story, you will be able to recognize one major linking verb pattern that Fitzgerald uses many times in this sentence.
Remember, a sentence has a subject and a predicate. A clause has a subject and a predicate, too. The predicate is the verb phrase. It has a main verb, such as a linking verb, and other words, such as a subject complement, that give more information about it. When you capitalize the first word of a clause and put a period at the end of it, a clause becomes a sentence. Keep this idea in mind because it will help you understand sentences that use several clauses.
In the book Rhetorical Grammar, Martha Kohn says that the term linking verbs applies to verbs that are completed by a subject complement, the adjective or noun phrase that describes the subject. Many grammar experts consider the verb be to be a linking verb, but Kohn says be verb patterns are sometimes different from other linking verb patterns. This is because adverbial information often follows be verbs, such as in the following sentence.
My sister is at the store.
In this case, an adverbial structure, a prepositional phrase, tells about the location of the subject, my sister. This be pattern is one we discussed in a previous Everyday Grammar story. Subject plus be plus adverbial. Be plus adverbial make up the predicate. In contrast, the usual linking verb structure is this. Subject plus linking verb plus subject complement. The linking verb plus subject complement make up the predicate.
Some of the most common linking verbs are verbs of the senses. They include taste, smell, feel, look, and sound. These verbs often link an adjective to a subject. For example, consider these memorable lines from Dirty Harry, a famous American film. Clint Eastwood, the actor who plays the character of Dirty Harry, says,
"You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?"
In the sentence, "Do I feel lucky?" the adjective lucky acts as the subject complement. It describes the subject, I. If you were to answer the question, you might say this: "Yes, I feel lucky."
Verbs of the senses are not the only linking verbs. Two other common examples of linking verbs are remain and become. These verbs often link a noun or noun phrase to a subject. Consider the opening lines from Casablanca, another classic American film.
With the coming of the Second World War, many eyes in imprisoned Europe turned hopefully, or desperately, toward the freedom of the Americas. Lisbon became the great embarkation point.
In the second sentence, Lisbon became the great embarkation point. You can see the basic linking verb pattern. Even though the subject complement has several words, Lisbon is the subject of the sentence. The predicate has the linking verb became, as well as the noun phrase, the great embarkation point.
Aside from the verbs of the senses and become and remain, there are three other common linking verbs. They are prove, seem, and appear. Like other linking verbs, these verbs link an adjective or noun phrase to the subject. All these verbs use the same basic pattern: subject plus linking verb plus subject complement.
Think back to this passage from The Diamond as Big as the Ritz.
As he approached the end, his sentences became broken, became short and uncertain, and his body seemed tense, seemed strained to catch the slightest pressure or whisper of life in the spaces around him.
Fitzgerald uses some phrases that do not fit into the linking verb pattern, but if you look closely, you will see that he uses the subject plus linking verb plus subject complement pattern in the sentence. Consider these clauses.
His sentences became broken.
Fitzgerald then repeats the linking verb pattern, but does not say the subject. The repeated subject is understood.
His sentences became short and uncertain. His body seemed tense. His body seemed strained.
This sentence contains other structures that are more complicated than the basic linking verb pattern. But you can still see that these basic patterns can serve as the starting point for very long, complicated sentences.
Learning how to use linking verb patterns will help you improve your writing. You can think about creative ways to use them, or you can learn to recognize when you use them too often. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.